Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
We're so glad you've stopped by. Welcome to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. Come indulge with us in the next hour as we explore a region of the world, its wine and spirits. We'll also talk about food, tours, and other amenities unique to this area. Sit back and enjoy. Now, here's Kimber Stonehouse.
Hello, and welcome back to Around the World in a Glass. This week, we've been talking about different spirits over the last couple of months, and I don't mean the ghosty kind. That was October. We are looking at tequila today. Yes, I know. Some people call that tequila, but as we kind of in the industry think that's kind of funny because everybody has a tequila story, a tequila story. Everyone has one of those. I had that when I was whatever age. We'll leave you to fill in the blank for your own story. And, oh, my goodness, I did this and this and this. And, you know, honestly, it's really not the tequila's fault. I promise. It really isn't quite the tequila's fault. Tequila is a distilled beverage. You may or may not know that. So we're going to kind of start at the basics. I've got some notes. I've got some cocktails. I'm just kind of going to tell you a little bit about what I know about tequila let you go from there. It is the gift-giving season, so that is kind of why we're focusing a little more on spirits. We have people come into the store and tell us, I need to buy a bottle of tequila for a friend. And I'm going to ask you, if it's you and you're asking that question, do you have a budget? You know, what do you want to spend? Because you can buy tequila that's inexpensive for $20, or you can go all the way up to $700 or $800. Actually, last year at Christmas time, we had a bottle that was $1,800. That's right, two zeros after that 18, before the decimal point. And we did sell it. It's not a common item. It's not something we bring in and keep on the shelf, just so you know. But it is actually amazing. I've had the opportunity to try it twice. It won't cost me $1,800 because I can't afford that for a bottle of tequila. It's done by Clase Azul, and it is called their Ultra. And it is Ultra, that's for sure. It was really very good. We carry their less expensive things in the store. They do a Blanco and a Reposado. And I do say less expensive. They're both under 100, but well over 50. So we're not talking, you know, something to put in your margaritas for your friends. At least I wouldn't. And maybe you have different friends than I do, but I wouldn't put that in margaritas. We are going to talk today also about how to make a classic, what I call a classic margarita. Very simple, very clean, very pure, and I love it. We'll talk about tequila based liqueurs as well, because there's several of those out there, and they're really good. Even if you're not a tequila fan, they're really good liqueurs. So we'll talk a little bit about those today as well. So let's start with the basics. If you are gift giving, remember to come in, if you can, with a few answers to a few questions. We've talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago with Brandy. And we talk about it every week right now, because, you know, I'm not trying to cram gift giving down your throat. I'm just trying to give you the answers to all the questions, and I let you learn about tequila at the same time. So if you're coming in or anywhere to our store or any other store to talk to a sales professional about a gift for tequila, you need to come armed with a few answers, if possible. If not, you know, come in blind and we'll help you and sort you out. But if you have the opportunity, snoop around. This is the one time of year you can snoop and it's really okay. I'm normally not somebody to advocate invading other people's privacy. But, you know, ask questions. You know, hey, I got a friend who loves tequila, and I remembered you like tequila. What is it you like to drink again? Because I might get that for this other friend. No, you don't know him. So, you know, I mean, come on. You can fabricate a little bit. Be like, you know, Spock and move out of the always have to tell the truth kind of thing. If you're a Star Trek fan, you'll catch that reference. Anyway, so come in with a budget. Come in and tell me, or whoever you talk to, wherever you go, I need to spend $50 or less. I can stay in a budget, and then you be firm on your budget. Don't let somebody sell you a $100 bottle of tequila because you think it sounds awesome. Stay in your budget. Christmas for me is not about paying it off in February. It's about enjoying the holidays and feeling like I got good bang for my buck. Giving a good gift, but staying in my budget so I'm not, you know, I'm not spending 6 months of the year paying off the things that I overspent on. So try and stay firmly in your budget. You're going to feel better if you do. And you can get fantastic things if you and still stay in your budget. Know if they're really, really brand conscious. So if they are, I only drink Patron, all right, don't come in and buy them something other than Patron. Just go buy them what they like to drink. If they're like, you know, I really kind of like exploring the different types of tequila. Or if you really want to introduce them to your favorite, go ahead. Or if you want to introduce them to something new, you can do that too. So keep in mind that gift giving is not about the stress. It's about the gift. You're giving a gift. You know, I know we all have those picky people to buy for, and those really hard to buy for people that you really want to impress. And, you know, sometimes they need a gift card. Because maybe they take back everything. If that's the kind of person, come in. We'll help you sort it out. I promise we can help you figure that out. But so come in with, you know, what brand they usually buy, how they drink it. Do they drink it neat? If they drink it neat and it's kind of brown in color, then we kind of know which direction to go in. So you're going to want to know their brand if they have a favorite brand. You're going to know how they want to drink it. If they're drinking it in margaritas, or they're drinking it as any other type of cocktail, then we want to make sure that we're not spending a fortune on that tequila. We want to make sure we're getting a good quality, good rich smoothness that's going to accentuate the drink, but we don't want to spend a lot of money because they're mixing it. And to me, that means I want to spend less than about $40 a bottle. Usually, I like to go less than 30 if I'm going to mix it with other stuff. If I'm sipping, then I get really particular about the brand. And I don't sip tequila very often, just so you know. It's not my favorite beverage for sipping. But if you, you know, so you want to get in a budget, and you want to, you know, if they're sipping it, then you want to make sure you push your budget as far as you can. So if your $50 or $75 range is there, stay in your budget, but really get the best bang for your buck that you can, because sipping is a whole different ballgame than mixing. All right, we are going to get into all those. So those are questions that you should have answers to, or you, if possible. I mean, you don't have to have those answers. We can wing it, but it just kind of helps us go in the right direction. We carry, I don't know, we have 5 shelves, 10 to 15 tequilas on each. We carry a lot of tequila. All right. And not always a lot of brands, but a lot of varieties. And we're going to talk about that, too. And then you've got, of course, your cordials, your liqueurs that come with tequila base that are always an option if you're trying to do something different for somebody. All right. So we're going to quit stalling. Anyway, quit giving you the background and move straight on into tequila. Those are questions to have if you can when you come into the store to buy a gift. Those are going to help us really make you feel comfortable with what you got. You can come in and you can say, he drinks Patron Añejo, and he drinks it neat. No ice, no water, no nothing, just, and not even a lime. And we're going to talk about the lime, too, and the salt. He drinks Patron Añejo. I know exactly, I know how much, you, and I want to spend $50. All right, I'm going to send you home with probably a bottle of Corrido Añejo. You're going to stay in budget. It's going to be something he hasn't had, or she hasn't had, and it's going to be amazing neat because it's one of the best bang for the buck tequilas out there. So that would be Corrido, Corrido. All of them are amazing bang for their buck. All right, so let's just get right to the beginning. Tequila is a distilled spirit. It comes from the agave plant. It comes from primarily the state of Jalisco in Mexico. Tequila is a governed name. You should not ever see tequila that was grown in London, all right? There isn't tequila produced in London. They are known for their gin, not their tequila. Tequila is governed. It is a licensed name, much like champagne in France, you know, that little bitty region that we talked about for bubbles. Cognac that we talked about the week before Thanksgiving. We talked about cognac and Armagnac. Those are other things that are those names are recognized worldwide. So you don't buy cognac from Australia. You might buy brandy, but you don't buy cognac. It's strictly from that region of France. Same with Armagnac. Tequila has the same license to that name. They have it's their name. You cannot steal it. You can't use it for something that isn't made there. It can be made there, shipped in tanks, and bottled in the United States if you really want to go to all that expense. But it has to be made in tequila. It has to be distilled in that region. Most of that, like I said, is in the state of Jalisco. You can get out your little map. Agave is grown over the majority of Mexico, the agave plant. It is grown over the majority of Mexico. However, the tequila region is much smaller. Predominantly focused around the city of Tequila, but it includes instead of just the state of Jalisco, there's a few other states that have some portions in it. So some other states are kind of covered by the best growing region, and that's kind of what they've done. Is they picked out where the agave nectar that makes the best tequila comes from, and then they've embraced that as a region. So that, again, you're getting quality. The idea of those kind of regulations is to get quality, so that when you pick up something and it says tequila 100% agave, blue agave, you know that they didn't add in, 50% of whatever random stuff that they needed to make up the filler, that it is governed as best as possible. Because you can't govern quality. You can only govern it in the things that go into it, right? Cognac. You can govern the things that go into it very strictly, as the French government does. But in the end, the quality and the flavor profile is up to the person doing the distilling and the house, the cognac house, that makes that, whether it's Hennessy or Camus or all the others that are out there. So tequila starts as the blue agave plant in that specific region. We're going to talk. We may delve a little bit into mezcal, but probably not. We're going to really focus on tequila because, I always run out of time and we never get through everything. So we're going to focus first on tequila. If we have time at the very end, I'll toss out a few tidbits about mezcal because I do like mezcal on occasion. So tequila comes in when you get to the store and you're looking around, and maybe we're going to use Patron today and as an example. And Patron is not my favorite. There's nothing wrong with Patron. It's just there are so many other brands out there. So what Patron did, from my perspective as a person who sells beverages, alcohol beverages, distilled beverages, they opened up the market for premium tequila, much like Absolut did that for vodka, right? I mean, if you think about 15 years ago, if you're old enough to think back that long and still, be of drinking age, then you think back that long. How often was it that people talked about premium vodka or premium tequila? Usually it was Jose Cuervo, it was Soli, and I don't mean Elite, I mean the regular stuff, or it was, I forget the other cheap vodka, Smirnoff, there we go. We don't sell a lot of Smirnoff, we sell all the other stuff, but it's on the shelf, by the way. So tequila didn't have that big a name. And Patron has kind of opened up the door for that. They did major marketing. They did out a premium product. They kind of opened up the door. Not a lot of people were doing that before Patron did it. They had the marketing budget. They saw the opportunity. And so they did that. Well, now you've got so many other people vying for that are making a really quality product. Some of them are selling it less expensive. Maybe they make a smaller amount because Patron makes a lot of tequila. A lot. I mean, when you think about the fact that you can walk in almost any grocery store, liquor store, or anybody else who sells distilled spirits, and almost any restaurant you can walk in and it's on their back bar, they make a lot, because I don't know that there's ever been a stocking issue on Patron in the entire time I've worked in the beverage industry. Patron is always available. You just can get as many cases as you like. In fact, you could get as many pallets as you like if you really wanted to sell that much Patron. So they make a lot of Patron. The more you increase the quantity, from my perspective, sometimes your quality starts to miss a little bit. If you're making a smaller quantity, many times you can get a better quality. So some of these others are a little more boutique. Partida, one of my favorite tequilas, but it is much more expensive. We're talking it's at least $20 to $30 a bottle more than Patron. So it is expensive. It is still family-owned and family-run down in that region of Mexico. So it's still a family-owned. It's not a big, corporation. It is still a family-owned product. So that, to me, is very cool. Again, it's more expensive. It's a little more boutique-y, but it is also very good. All right, so you've got the blue agave. They harvest it. I believe they roast it, and then they make it into a fermented kind of mush that is the base for the distillate. You have to start with something, and then we can heat it up and distill it into tequila. As it makes its way into tequila, it usually is what we call distilled twice. Once to get it to where you want it, and then a second time for quality. Some do more than that. Sometimes they do it 3-4 times. But it's kind of the opinion that you start to lose some of the distinctive characteristics of tequila. I mean, if you take vodka and you distill it 5 or 10 times, you end up with a clear, no flavor, no aroma kind of vodka. That's the idea of vodka. That is not the idea of tequila. Tequila, we still want to smell that agave fruit. That's one of my favorite aspects of tequila when I'm going to sit down and drink a margarita or my favorite way to drink tequila that I'll talk about in a bit. The best part is the aroma. And knowing that it's got, you know, that agave smell. There's a specific smell there that is the agave nectar. And somebody told me yesterday that it's kind of grassy. You know what? I can buy that. I can buy that. There's a coolness to that aroma. It's got a fruitiness and otherworldliness and kind of a grassiness and kind of a tropical kind of, not tropical fruits, but just kind of something that reminds you of the tropics. So that would be its base. And then it's distilled usually twice. Now, at that point, a couple of things can happen. It can be bottled right then. Boom, in the bottle, label it, ship it, ready to roll. It can be aged a bit, it can be rested, or it can be rested a long time. So when you go into the store, at any store, and they have more than one, say, so you have your Patron, and you have the Blanco, and the Repo, and the Añejo. Right? You got the three. The Blanco, sometimes you hear that called silver. Sometimes it's called Diamante, depending on the brand. I'm going to use most of the time, I'm going to call it Blanco or silver today. And it's the clear one. All right? It's the one that doesn't have any color. And that is either done in right when they distill it, or it is, so they bottled it right after they distilled it, or maybe they rested it a couple of weeks, all the way up to no longer than 2 months. If they rest it longer than 2 months, it automatically turns a corner, okay? So they can bottle it. They can put it in a barrel if they want. They can leave it in a big vat, you know, a big tank, just because it's done. It's not going to get any more alcohol in it. Now is the question on, do they want to age it or do they not want to age it? All right, so that's kind of how tequila works. All right, I'm going to save the big explanation about tequila for after the break. We are going to head to break. And when I come back, we're going to talk about the differences and how you know the differences and why some of them just don't make very good margaritas. All right, we'll be right back.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Tune into Goddard Design every week for everything that is arts, interior design, and architecture. Host Chris Goddard will help you explore and invite creativity into your life. Our guests will include industry leaders and insiders who take you through the entire world of design and its many facets. You may not be immediately aware, but design is involved in nearly everything we do, from homes to clothing to food and drink. Tune into Goddard Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Tune in to The Hoffman Connection for inspiration, a life of passion and purpose. Hosts Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune will bring you ways to remove the blocks in your life that are holding you back. Along with their guest experts, Raz and Ed will use their experience and expertise to help you learn to get closer to what matters to you most. And by doing so, improve your life and the lives of others. The Hoffman Connection can be heard live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, well, welcome back. We're going to jump right in because I've got a lot to cover and it's going by quick again today, like always. All right, so Blanco or silver, whichever way you want to call it, Reposado and Añejo. The Blanco, they distill, they bottle, they distill, they put it in a container. Once it passes that two-month time period, once it gets to 60 days, maybe 61, they can't call it the Blanco or silver anymore. It's done. It is considered to be, if they haven't bottled it already, so if they bottle it at 59 days, it is your Blanco Silver, all right? If they bottle it at 70 days, it is now a Reposado, all right? So Reposado means rested, okay? It takes a pause. It gets a break. Often what they'll do, if it's slated to be Reposado when they distill it, this is going to be my Reposado, they'll put it into an oak barrel, usually American or French oak, but they'll put it into an oak barrel to rest it. They can even do that with the ones that are going to be Blanco, but they just can't keep them longer than 59 days. Once they pass the two-month mark, they are Reposado. That's just one of the rulings. So when you're looking at them on the shelf and you think about the Patron in the green box that's kind of clear, or the Corito or the Milagro, you have the clear one, which is your silver. Then you have the next one. It's kind of got a little hint of brownness to it, kind of like a little caramely color, you know, just a little bit. But it's not as dark as the one called Añejo. Well, the reason for that is a Reposado, starts at 2 months and goes until 364 days. That's very precise, I know. But 364 days, because at 365, now it's an Añejo, because Añejo means year. So at a year, it becomes an Añejo. All right, so now the next time you're in the store looking, check out the three bottles of tequila that are sitting there, whatever they are, and look at them. I mean, Jose Cuervo, the really inexpensive stuff, doesn't quite fit into this, by the way. It just doesn't. Take my word for it. I think they cheat a little bit. They add a little caramel coloring, and it gets a little browner. And it does taste okay in margaritas. I'm talking about just the stuff on the yellow label. But look at, you know, something that's a little more what we would call premium. I'm talking ultra premium. I'm just talking like a premium, you know, something that's just a little bit more expensive. Milagro is a great example. It has the blue bottle, and it's clear. And then you have the next color bottle, and you can tell that it's got a little more color to it, and that's the Reposado. And then you have the third one. It's called Añejo. So the Añejo is going to be a year plus. All right, so minimum 365 days that has been aged, usually in oak, not always new oak, sometimes just what we call neutral oak. So oak that's been used to age agave in the past, the agave distilled spirit, in the past, that would be what they would use again. All right, oak they use over and over and over, and the more it's used, the less flavor it imparts. So when it's new oak, really strong oak flavors. The older it is, the less it imparts. It just kind of creates a roundness and a smoothness and a richness. So you get these añejos that have been, aged for a year. And is there an aging statement that's better than añejo? Yes, there is. I'm glad you ask. All right, so at 365 days, we have an añejo. If they take that to, my understanding is it's 3 years. I had somebody tell me recently that they thought it was two. But at about 2 or 3 years, I was told three, but everything I've ever read said three. But at that point in time, all right, at over 2 or 3, wherever the cutoff is, at that point in time, it becomes what they call an extra añejo, all right? Extra añejo, extra years. Extra years is what that means, extra age. This is a new designate, so if you're not familiar with it and you've been a tequila drinker for a while, it just means you didn't get the update. It happened about, I want to say, 2, maybe 3 years ago on like January 1st or January 30th or whatever. They changed it to include extra añejos. If you were paying attention to the La Familia by Jose Cuervo, which is one of their higher ends, then you will know that it immediately took a price increase when it became extra añejo and they could put that on the label. Before that, they couldn't put it on the label, and La Familia didn't. They just had something that had extra age on it and was fantastic. About the time they were starting to talk about the extra añejos, several people started releasing them. And some of them had already been out, but most of them took a price increase because now they were, you know, they had the designate of being an extra añejo. They're amazing. Extra añejos, are just absolutely flat incredible. Partita does one called Elegante. Now, they're going to set you back, all right? So hopefully you're all sitting down. They're going to set you back. They're going to be anywhere from a couple hundred, as in two, and I'm not sure that I have any from two, but all the way up to $700 or $800. And then that one that was the 1800, that one is also an extra añejo. So if you are looking to buy somebody very special, a very special and unique gift, and they're a big, huge sipping tequila fan and you have deep pockets, well, then that's what you could buy them. And we have several brands. Herradura does one. It's called the Suprema. Partita does one called Elegante. Jose, no, that's right, not right. Sorry. Don Julio has one, and it's called the Real, R-E-A-L. Comes in a really great decanter package as well. So I think you're paying a bit for the glass on that one. But, you know, it's still, I mean, it's $360, $380, something like that. Patron does one called the Burdeos, and I think it's about $500 or $600. So yeah, there's a lot of them out there. But the best one, if you really want to try an extra añejo, but you don't exactly have $500 because you have to make your car payment and pay your rent this month, because that's what I have to do instead of buy a bottle of tequila, then you know what you can do is Corrido does an extra añejo that's under $100. So if you really want to get that flavor profile of an extra añejo, Corrido would be my answer. C-O-R-R-I-D-O. And it is amazing. We had people special ordering that when it first came into the market. And after we tasted the entire line, the Blanco, the Repo, the Añejo, and the Extra Añejo, we brought them all in and put them on the shelf because we thought they were just that darn good. And that good prices. You know, I mean, the regular Blanco is about $31. So you've got a good bottle. It's $12 less than Patron. And it's good. You know, it's something you can drink and not be like, oh, my goodness, you know, the fire is on and I need something to put this out with. All right. So that's kind of the breakdown on the names and the colors. So it's all about the oak aging. An extra añejo is a minimum 2 or 3 years, whichever the thing is there. And some of them go all the way up to 5 before they actually bottle it. So some of them go a little farther with their extra añejo before they bottle it. And that's where the price comes in. We remember when we talked, I think it was about cognac, and when we talked about things that have to age. When they age, some of the alcohol evaporates because the barrels are not sealed. I mean, that's the whole point, is you're aging it and letting the spirit or the distilled spirit or the wine integrate with the barrel. And to do that, you have to have the airflow, which is just kind of through the wood. It's a very natural process. So through that process, though, the alcohol, a little bit of it evaporates. So they say you lose as much as 4 to 6% of the alcohol. So what you get is this really rich distilled spirit, but you don't always have as much in the barrel when you open it up as when you closed it. So the longer things age, automatically the more expensive they become. You also have to think about the fact of holding the warehouse and all that jazz. So they do become more expensive. Some of that is due to the aging process. Some of it's also due to limited availability. I mean, there are times that, you know, not a lot of people are going to buy a $400 bottle of tequila. So they don't make very much of it either. And so sometimes it's an opportunity to buy. You know, it's a very limited production. So they have to charge more for it because they only have so many bottles. You know, supply and demand and all that stuff from economics in college or whenever you studied economics. Supply and demand. All right. So now you've figured out what they like. You got their brand name. You've got that they sip it. And you think that they like the añejo. So you're armed and coming to the store with your budget. And there are as many brands and as many cool packages as you could think of. We carry, like I said, a decent selection. And most of the time we carry all three, the Blanco, the Repo, and the Añejo. All right. So what do you do with this stuff after you get – you figured it out? What else can you do with tequila? What else does it come at? And I hope there's no more questions with the flavor profiles there. You know what? Let me back up and tell you a little bit more about the flavor profiles for me and how I experience the different flavors for each one and why I think that most of the time you should use a silver to mix with. So let me tell you about that first before we move on to everything else you can do with tequila other than make a margarita and drink it straight. All right. So the Blanco or the silver to me comes across. Remember I said it's the one customer described it as grassy or tropical, but it's really clean. So you get the fruits of the agave. All right. You get that's all you get. You don't get oak or vanilla or butterscotch or any of those other aromas. You get the clean crispness of the agave fruit. And to me, that's what you're drinking it for. I don't, I, I have to be honest. I don't do shots of tequila. The lick the salt, toss back the tequila, and then do the lime. Yeah, I don't do that. Not because I don't like tequila, but because I'm really not very fond of shots. I want to drink something that's better quality. I'm also not very fond of hangovers, all right? And the better quality of distilled spirits that you drink, the less opportunity you have for hangover the next day. Because usually the hangover is, as we've talked with wine, it is a lack of hydration, so you're not drinking enough water while you're drinking alcohol. And that automatically gives you a headache and all the other stuff. And then the other reason is poor quality. So when we talk about distilling once or twice and, you know, with vodka, how they distill several times, what they're getting out there is the impurities. Now, tequila automatically is going to have some of those so-called impurities because that's the flavor profile, right? If you distill out all the flavor, then it's not tequila anymore. But you can also make sure you're buying kind of a better quality. So instead of buying, you know, the really cheap stuff, if you're going to drink shots or neat, then, you know, you might want to upgrade your quality just a bit. It really makes the next day a lot more bearable. And you don't have to try and down, you know, bubbles or Bloody Marys or whatever to get past your hangover. Again, not a fan of the hangover at all. I go to great lengths to make sure I don't run into that problem. So I drink, a quality tequila, even if I'm going to drink it neat. Which is not often for a Blanco. I tend to mix it with soda water and lime. It's kind of my cheater margarita. It's not really a margarita because you don't have all the sweetness. But to me, it makes it's a great cocktail because it's going to be 80 to 100 calories. It's much like what I do with vodka, and I've mentioned before that I do that also with gin. I like those, especially here in the summer. They're lighter. They're not cloying. It is a little strong, so sometimes I have to wait for the ice and the soda to kind of mix in with my tequila a little bit. And maybe sometimes I want two lime wedges instead of one to just help me get over that. If I'm going to make a classic, what I call a classic style margarita, Partita has the best recipe. I know you can add, you know, Cointreau, and you can add this, and you can add that. I like simple. I like simple with my food. I like simple with my cocktails. If I'm going to do complex, it usually means it's coming out of the oven because I love to do complex there. I also like to do simple for cooking and for baking. I'm talking about cakes and pies and such. I do really complex there, but sometimes I just want other things to be simple. And again, as you all know, I like the cleanup to also be simple. I'm not a fan of a mess. So for my margaritas, I learned this from Partita when they came in and poured some stuff at one point in at one of the other stores when we could pour alcohol, distilled spirits. Here's the recipe. 2 ounces of your Blanco, okay? And we're going to remember our cocktail class from last month or end of October? Yeah, remember that? So you get out your little jigger and you measure 2 ounces. 2 ounces of the Blanco, 1 ounce of fresh lime juice. And you know what? If you must, you can use something that's already prepackaged. I would not use roses because that comes as sweetened lime juice. So either you're using the really weird stuff, the real lime stuff that you buy in the bottle, or you buy some fresh limes. I buy fresh limes. I don't cut corners because I think it's the same thing when you're baking. If you cut corners, it tastes like you cut corners. So you take your Blanco tequila, you get your 1 ounce of fresh lime juice, and then you put in 1 ounce of agave syrup. That's right, that nectar agave stuff that's all the rage these days. You put in 1 ounce of the agave syrup. You put it in your shaker with ice. You shake, 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 and then you strain it, and you put it, or you can put all of it, ice and all, into your glass. Boom. Margarita, but I like mine without the ice. So strain it with your little little strainer that you got for your cocktails, and then you garnish with a lime wedge. All right, boom, done and over. It's really very cool. It's refreshing. It doesn't require salt. I don't like salt with my margaritas anyway, even if I'm buying them someplace where they're using the Dr. Swami or the Jose Cuervo mixes. I don't like salt with my margaritas. This one, you don't need it. So, I mean, how simple is that? 2 ounces of tequila, 1 ounce of fresh lime juice, and 1 ounce of agave syrup. Shake, shake, shake. Dump it in a glass. Stick your lime wedge on the side. If you really want to do a cool thing, you take your lime wedge and you rim it. You rim it all the way around. And if you want to add the salt, then you can do that. You usually get kind of the thicker rock salt, not the Morton stuff out of the cabinet, but you could use that, I suppose. Anyway, I like to rim mine first with a lot of lime juice, and then you stick the glass upside down. You haven't put the cocktail in yet, by the way. You put your glass upside down, and then it will rim it very easily with the lime juice. So you're not adding water or other stuff to dilute your cocktail. You're just adding more flavor. Remember that? We also talked about that in the cocktail class. So that's how you rim a glass. But anyway, then you garnish, because the garnish, it's a really key part. And then you serve it with or without the straw. I always taste mine. So you put in a straw and you take a little sip. You know how you used to play with your pop at the store or at the restaurant, and your parents and, well, my parents would backhand me for playing in my soda instead of drinking it through the straw and playing with the straw and dropping it in my mouth, right? That's a mess waiting to happen. So my parents would act appropriately and tell me to act like a young woman instead of like a two-year-old. But you do that now with cocktails, because you want to try it before your guest gets it. You want to make sure that it tastes good, but you can't drink out of their glass. So you take your little straw and you taste it off the end and make sure that it tastes right. And it's going to taste good. This is a great way to make them. And if you want to make that in a big pitcher, you can do that pitcher style. You just multiply and do your math. All right. So if you want, you know, however many ounces you want of margaritas, then you would just triple or quadruple or whatever, and stir, or I would shake, but you do it however you want, and then get it all in the pitcher, and then you've got your pitcher of margaritas. Easy and really good. You don't need the Cointreau. You don't need the triple sec or whatever. You don't need all that stuff. You don't need the simple syrup. Agave already has those aromas from the tequila. That's where it comes from. It's the agave nectar. They make it from the leftovers sometimes of that agave plant. So take that and mix that with your tequila. They're natural friends. They came from the same plant. They're already there. And then you add in your lime. So it's very easy, very crisp, very refreshing. All right. We still have to cover, so don't go away yet. We still have to cover agave liqueurs. And what in the world is that all about? Let's see. Yeah, that might be it. We might actually get through everything for a change today. And if we do have time, then I'm going to hint on mezcal just to tell you what in the world that is. And we're going to talk about that worm, too, because that's just really gross. All right, we'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Many people are seeking to make a difference in the world, but few actually have the tools to do so. Every week, host Mary Beth Lodge and her guests will have you thinking forward and will give you the tips to keep your life, goals, priorities, and choices on track. The result is an easier, happier, and more inspired life. The name of the program is What Matters. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. What really matters is the positive changes that you'll bring to your life and the world just by listening. Racism. Healing. Oneness of humankind. It is time to join millions of people all over the world who openly talk about racial healing. Some of us are not sure how to tread when discussing race and culture. Until now. Tune in to A Safe Place to Talk About Race with host Sharon E. Davis. Engage with experts and notables. Have a question but are not sure how to ask it? Test it out with our show. It's a safe harbor to explore views and situations that we face every day. A Safe Place to Talk About Race airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Conservation starts with us. Learn about environmental concerns each week when you tune in to Our Wild World with host Ellie Weiss. Our show centers on Africa each week and what's being done to save our wildlife, ecology, and ourselves. However, we'll also discuss what's going on closer to home. And most importantly, we'll let you know what can be done in our own backyards by featuring guest experts and featuring your questions and answers. Listen every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's Around the World in a Glass at hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, so have you got your margaritas made? You had a whole, like, 2 minutes there, or maybe four. So anyway, if you've got your margarita, then you can join me in a drink. No, I have water and lemon here today in the studio. But anyway, so that's how you make what I consider to be a classic margarita. I really like that. I mean, we carry the Dr. Swami. You can go buy Jose Cuervo. You can buy all those mixes. But as you know, I'm kind of a purist. I really like for things not to have a lot of extra weird sugars or weird preservatives and stuff. I really have a thing against that more and more. Maybe I'm showing my finicky age, but I just think that, you know, we have so much fresh fruit and vegetables available. Let's just do this the real way. And for me, that's using the agave syrup and the fresh lime juice. So some things that we still have to cover. I want to get to mezcal because I think we're going to have time today. And then I want to talk a little bit about those tequila liqueurs. But if you do have a question, you're gift giving and you're panicked, email us. We'll figure it out for you. We'll help point you in the right direction. And if you don't want to email because you don't know if I'll talk about it on the air because you know how often I talk about emails on the air, you know what? Come into the store or call us. The numbers are all right there. We're right down there at 32nd Street in Camelback. Call us or come into the store. We will help you figure it out. And if you want to come in and you want to, you know, kind of get some information and then you want to come in later and get the actual gift so you can go home and compare notes to what's on the counter or what they're drinking, you know what? That's cool too. Come in and we'll help you figure it out. Gift giving should not be stressful. Sometimes it just is, but it really shouldn't. It should be something you're doing because you enjoy buying something cool for somebody. All right, so let's see here. What else did we need? I think we're just going to jump right into mezcal real quick because I want to cover that. It's kind of cool. Oh, and the worm. That's what it was. I wanted to talk about that stupid worm. The worm should not be in your tequila, okay? In fact, that worm and the tradition of the worm is kind of a marketing gimmick. The worm that they're talking about is actually a pest on the agave plant. So if they find those worms, that's a bad thing. It's kind of like, I would say it's pretty much like finding phylloxera on wine plants, which is that louse that destroys the wine plants. So the worm is not a good thing. The marketing ones is a gimmick and it's usually poor quality. So if you're worried about the worm, just don't buy that bottle. It's usually found more in mezcal than tequila. Now, I've said that word three or four times today during the show, and you're probably like, what is it? You still haven't told us. It is another type of beverage from the agave nectar, all right? It is from – I'm not positive if it's an actual region. I believe it is. It's a region outside of the tequila region, a specific area where they make what they call mezcal, M-E-Z-C-A-L. It is known for being very smoky. It's in the way they process. It's in the way they roast. It has a different flavor profile. It is a different beverage. It just doesn't mean it's the cheap stuff with the worm in it, all right? We don't stock that. We stock a couple of them. Some of them are phenomenally good. Holy cow. Be warned, though, they have the phenomenally good price tag, right? So if you're looking to try some mezcal, there's a couple that are going to set you back $30-$40. And then there's the what we call the single, I call them single vineyard, which is really not the right word for it, but that's how I always think of them because they're kind of like grapes where you only pick grapes from a certain section or a single vineyard and you process that differently. And they're usually much more expensive. So like single vineyard with some wineries is going to be $150, whereas they're just their regular vineyard, you know, where it's not a single vineyard, but it's all their vineyards blended together is maybe $25. So, you know, that's how I think of some of these mezcals is kind of single vineyard. But I think that they don't call those vineyards is my problem. I don't know if they call the agave plants vineyards, fields. But anyway, they take that agave from that single area in these wine mezcals and they process it together. And then there's another little section of the field or the, you know, the vineyard, for lack of a better word, and they process that one separately. So they have like this one brand has like Del Maguey, by the way, D-E-L-M-A-G-U-E-Y. That's the brand name. I keep forgetting to mention that part. And they do them as single lots. And oh my goodness, are they good. And they're individual. They're very, very distinctive. So they're like, you know, drinking something not completely different because you can still tell that it's mezcal, but it's just amazing. And they have a lot of smokiness. So you know, if you think about scotch, if you've ever had scotch, sometimes it smells medicinal or smoky. It's going to have some of those smoky characteristics, and it's to do with the way they roast it and they process it into mezcal. So that is a characteristic of mezcal. It does not make good margaritas. All right. I forgot to mention that earlier, too. The reposados and the añejos, the extra añejo. Oh, I want to buy my friend this really great bottle of tequila. And I'm going to spend $100 on amazing tequila. And what they're going to do is make margaritas with it. I am going to tell you to not buy a reposado that's $100. I'm going to tell you that you do not want to buy an añejo, because the oak and the rich vanilla and the butterscotch and all the flavors that come from all that rich smoothness that comes from the oak tastes terrible in a fruity margarita. I mean, terrible is a kind word, all right? It really crashes. You think about a fruity margarita, right? It's supposed to be light and crisp and tart and all of those things. And then the wedge of lime to kind of push it over the edge. It's still got some sweetness, but it's supposed to have some fruitiness to it. That's what the whole concept of the drink is. And you take that and you add an oak-aged tequila, your reposados and your añejos. And heaven forbid you buy an extra añejo for somebody who only drinks margaritas. That would be really sad, because it's like $400 and they're going to mix it with stuff and not even taste it except to tell you that it doesn't taste good in their margarita. It would be like taking, if you're a fan of say, fruit and you like it fresh, so fresh fruit, say strawberries. All right. And you can put those with whipped cream. You could put those with ice cream. You could put fresh strawberries with a lot of things. But to mix them with some other things, it may not be what you like. You like them fresh. I'm not a fan of cooked fruit. So when you put a bunch of brown sugar with it and you cook it and bake it and call it a pie, I'm not interested in eating it anymore. I like my fruit fresh. So it really depends on the concept of what you're doing with the tequila. Yeah, and if they're making margaritas with it, then please stay with a Blanco or a clear. There's a couple of places that have done some special edition Blancos. So, you know, it's still clear. It doesn't have a lot of aging on it. It's just a little richer because of the way they've processed it and the way they've done things to it after they've made it into the beautiful tequila. Partidas is more expensive and a little smoother. If you want to spend more on a gift, you could go Clase Azul. They've got an amazing Blanco. It's just so good. And then there's a few others. Don Julio's is going to be nice. And then they did their 70th anniversary one that is different. Platino from Jose Cuervo is another one. It's going to set you back closer to $70, $80, $90. But it's not aged. It's still got the clearness, so you don't get all that caramely stuff on it. You know, because just it doesn't work in a margarita. Just doesn't work in a margarita. All right, so that's a little bit about mezcal. That's a little bit about how to gift give for the tequila fan. Some of the other things, if they're just somebody who likes, you know, various flavors, or maybe you just want to do something different and you're really a tequila fan, but where can you go once you have explored all of the brands of tequila? Well, if you've explored all the brands of tequila, you come see me because I'm going to give you a job and you can help sell tequila during the holidays, because we can always use somebody who knows all that. Patron does a couple of things that I think are very good quality. They, you know, and like I said, I'm not the biggest Patron fan when it comes to just their straight tequila, but these two liqueurs I think are fantastic. I know I've mentioned the Patron coffee on the air before. I think it's fantastic. It's a coffee liqueur based on tequila. That's right. It comes in a black bottle or a black frosted bottle, and it says Patron XO. And I'm a huge coffee fan, and I drink it black or with a little cream. I don't do all the, you know, caramel macchiato triples, and I don't do all that. I don't even know how to order at Starbucks. I walk in and order a cappuccino because I don't know what else to order because I get so lost. But I also don't like my coffee to be really sweet. So as I've said in the past, ordering cocktails, sometimes I get a little overwhelmed. It happened again recently. I got overwhelmed trying to order a cocktail, and I just ordered something easy. And it wasn't what I wanted. but oh well. But the coffee liqueur from Patron is just flat amazing. I never would have figured that coffee and tequila would go that well together. It is really good. It doesn't need anything. It could do some whipped cream if you wanted. You could make it into some kind of a cocktail, I'm sure. If you wanted to mix it with vodka and a little whipped cream, I'm sure you could call it a cafe mocha. I don't know. No, that's not going to work because you need chocolate, right? Anyway, you could call it a really cool coffee cocktail. it's just that fantastic. This stuff was amazing. They also make a citronage, and I know I've mentioned before that this is a great thing to swap out for your Grand Marnier and your Cointreau. Cointreau and Grand Marnier are both very expensive. The citronage, the Patron orange liqueur, is about half the price of those two. And it is good. And keep in mind, if you make your margaritas the other way, where you add the triple sec or the Cointreau or the orange liqueur, this would be a great swap out, because you've got your orange and you're still staying tequila based. You know, again, hangovers are caused because you mix too much weird stuff together. You use poor quality ingredients and you didn't drink enough water. Those are the big things. I mean, sometimes it's also just because you drank way too much. But if you're barring the fact of drinking way too much, then, you know, usually it's one of those other factors. So drink plenty of water, pay attention to how many of those cocktails you're having, and then also look at your ingredients. And if I can stay with everything tequila-based, then I'm going to stay with everything tequila-based. So instead of using, you know, Cointreau, which is very expensive, in my margarita that's going to be fruity tasting, maybe I'm going to use something less expensive like the citronage, which is already based on tequila. So kind of keeping my liqueurs a little more organized and maybe not quite so many opportunities for that hangover. So those are two of my favorites. 1921 is a brand of tequila. We don't carry it on the shelf. So if you're desperately looking for 1921 tequila, we'll be happy to order it for you, but we don't always stock that one. It's a very slow mover, so we just kind of do that one on a special order basis. But something else they do, besides their Blanco, Repo, and Añejo, is a cream liqueur. They do a cream liqueur that is absolutely amazing. And we get special orders for that because we sometimes forget to keep that one on the shelf. So if you like Bailey's and you like, you know, all of those other cream liqueurs besides Bailey's, there's the Amarula, there's several of them anymore. And you like tequila, so you like the cream liqueurs and you like tequila, get yourself a bottle of this 1921. It is absolutely fantastic and very good. Tequila-based, but a cream liqueur, so you could make your Irish coffees could become your Mexican coffees, because you're adding in, instead of whiskey-based, Irish whiskey-based, like Jameson, hello, Jameson Irish whiskey-based coffee, you could use your coffee liqueur could be tequila-based. So that would be kind of cool. So those are three that I really, really like. And then one that I don't care for, I'm going to mention it anyway because it's there's actually several more, but I'm going to mention one more that is one I don't care for, and it's La Pinta. And to me, it's just too sweet. All right. There's nothing wrong with the quality. The quality is fantastic, but it's just very sweet. It is a tequila-based pomegranate liqueur, and it is on the sweet side. So if you're a fan of the Pama, P-A-M-A, that's on the store, that's actually vodka-based and lighter alcohol, then and you're a fan because it's really tart, which is why I'm a fan, then the La Pinta is going to be too sweet. They're completely different. Still a very well, very crafted product. No gripes there. It is named after the boat that Christopher Columbus came across on, the La Pinta. You know, the Santa Maria, the La Pinta, and the other one that I forgot today. But La Pinta, it's even got a little boat on it. There's nothing wrong with the quality. It's just too sweet for my palate. They also do Agavero, which also comes in the agavero is in the shape of an agave plant, which is kind of cool when you stop and think about it. And then they do an agave orange that's actually very good as well. So those are two others that are tequila-based. And then you have your almendrados that I almost totally forgot because they're not on my notes today. But the almendrados are tequila-based liqueurs, but they're almond flavors. So they're kind of like a spin on amaretto, but based with tequila. So to me, that's very cool. They're very good. There's a couple, and people vary on which one they like and which one they don't like, and they use them in all kinds of ways. Some people are like, oh, yeah, I throw up my margaritas, which doesn't sound good to me. Just so you know, that does not sound good to me. But, you know, there are other cocktails that they use them in, and basically what you do with this kind of thing is you go and you see if it's what it sounds like is good. You know, you think that you would like almonds and tequila together, you think that, and I think they would be very good together on the sweet side. And then you kind of work from there to see what you could make for a cocktail. And the internet is a phenomenal resource for finding out how to mix up things. It really is a phenomenal resource. I don't want it to replace you asking me questions, but at the same time, I'm not available because I'm only available one day a week, you know, then you could certainly, you know, check it out on Google. Google is awesome. I love Google. All right. So We are about done today. We've learned about tequila and its different flavor profiles and its makeup in all ways, shapes, and forms. And then we have talked about how to make a classic margarita the easy way. Next week, I believe, unless things change between today and tomorrow, we are going to be talking a little bit about scotch. I'm trying to help you guys out with some of your gift giving and making sure that we've got what you need. And scotch is one of those things that it's such a vast topic that you can never cover it enough. I mean, we could talk about scotch for the next 2 months and you guys would still be, well, you'd quit listening to me, but you would also still be in the dark unless you were really, really taking notes and studying. So next week, I believe we're going to talk about scotch, just because it's so very tasty. We are done for today. I hope that you go out and have a fantastic week shopping or Christmas parties. I think that's going on. Hanukkah parties, maybe. I'm not positive of when Hanukkah is. Forgive me for that. You know, it's just a holiday time. And I want to just kind of briefly close with a quick statement of, remember, if you don't have a lot of family anymore, because I know sometimes as we get older, we sometimes don't have as much family, find something to go do for your holidays. Make a plan of something you're going to go do for your holidays. I know, As I lose more family, if we don't get together, one of these days I'm going to go work at a soup kitchen on Christmas Day. If I end up being stuck in a place with no family or can't go visit or, you know, because I mean, things like that happen. And I have spent a few holidays by myself, a few Christmases by myself. And, you know, I think the next time that I'm looking at that kind of day, I'm going to find some place to go donate my time and give to others, because sometimes that's a good way to keep you from being, you know, just a little depressed during this holiday season, is just to give out to others. And, you know, and I want to make sure all of you are back here listening in January and that we don't lose anybody through the holidays, through the crazy times. I'll never forget watching Lethal Weapon, and he's like, you know, it's the silly season. And, you know, it is. It is. It can be silly in a good way, and it can also be silly as in kind of a crazy way. So just find something to do with your time if you are going to be spending a lot of time alone, and make a commitment to maybe give back to the community and see if it can kind of help, you know, instill the spirit back in your heart. So until next week, enjoy, do a little tequila research, maybe make a margarita without all of the mixers, and see what you think. Just check it out. And we'll be back next week. Do it all over again with a different topic. Thanks a lot. See you then.
Thanks again for tuning in. Around the World in a Glass is heard every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Please join Kimber Stonehouse from Sportsman's Fine Wines and Spirits next week for another glass.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas